Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, The Tab Creation Story. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, reading verses 20 through 25. When your children ask you in times to come, "What is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your children, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, we will be in the right." This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter. Just these two verses. "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day and for the privilege of worship. We would pray now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In his book, The Contrarian's Guide to Leadership, Stephen Sample, former president of the University of Southern California, suggests that every organization or every institution has what he calls a creation story. Creation stories are intended to be known by their leaders and told by their members. In a way, they're to be memorable enough, easy enough to tell, that they can be repeated over and over again. They tell not only the details of how an organization came into being, but they also serve to tie the past with the present and give guidance for the future. They help us to better understand who we are in the present by reminding us of who we've been, where we've been, what we've done in the past, which then enables and inspires us to envision a way forward in the future. Now, if you think about it, this is how our faith story is given to us. Our faith is given to us not as propositional truths, which are simply intended to be memorized, but are largely given to us as stories that are told generation to generation to generation, which are then intended to be told for future generations. The psalmist tells our story in song, and the purpose in his telling is, quote, "We will tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord, so that the children still unborn should set their hope in God and keep his commandments." Psalm 78. Moses did the same with the children of Israel. Just before they enter into the promised land after their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness, rather than just rushing in and breaking down the barricades, Moses wisely gathered all the people and told them the story of God's mighty acts of deliverance. And from this, we get our book of Deuteronomy. He says, "In generations to come, your children will ask you, 'Why do we believe in the Lord? Why do we obey his commandments?' So be ready to tell them, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out with his mighty hand.'" And in the telling and retelling of this story over and over again, their story, long ago and far away, has become our story, here and now. So we tell the story of our faith, even as it has been told to us, in order that those who hear it, our children and our children's children, will set their hope in God and become his followers, even as we are. So on this anniversary Sunday, in our centennial year at the corner of 34th and Central, I'd like to tell you our story, the TAB creation story. And given that it's a 171st anniversary, I'm not going to tell it all, I promise you. But I do hope that you are reading the articles that Ruth and Bruce McDonald are putting in the Chimes every month. They fill in the details. I'm today going to try and hit some of the high water marks, the big rocks in the stream, the major turning points in our past, which will continue to influence our mission and our ministry today and give us very good guidance as we move into the future. So we start on September 23rd, 1851. The Presbytery of Muncie voted formally to organize Third Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. Now, bear in mind, Indiana had only been granted statehood in 1816. Indianapolis had been named its capital in 1821, and yet by 1851, there were already three Presbyterian churches here, not to mention the Baptists and the Methodists who preceded us. And by the 1920s, there were 19 Presbyterian churches in the city. Third Presbyterian Church was organized by 22 members who transferred from First Presbyterian Church for the advancement of Christianity. Two of our first three elders elected became later mayors of Indianapolis. Our first meeting was held in Temperance Hall downtown until in 1853 we purchased property at the northeast corner of Ohio and Illinois streets. Now think about where that is today. And by 1859, we built our first building for a total cost of $24,000. During those early years, our membership continued to grow due to the evangelistic fervor and the vibrant spirituality of our members. Early in our history, we were establishing Sunday schools, Sabbath schools, church planning programs. And during those same years, the National Presbyterian Church was wrestling with what was called the old school, new school debates. Old school Presbyterians were considered the more traditional, the more conservative branch, holding to the principles that theology matters, that a person becomes what he or she believes, as does a congregation. And from our founding, we were part of that old school tradition. Two significant events took place in the 1880s, the first leaving an indelible mark on us. In 1883, we were calling a new pastor and were given assurance by a Reverend A.T. Pearson that he would assume the duties with one caveat. He insisted that Third Presbyterian Church changed its name to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. The Tabernacle movement of the late 19th century was an urban church strategy. Think Brooklyn Tabernacle, think London Tabernacle, and others, which had an emphasis on reaching the unchurched and welcoming all people into the fellowship. Now, the approach was to present a clear message of the gospel from the pulpit and to create a worship service that was more comfortable, less formal, more welcoming. In fact, it was part of that same movement that did away with the pew rental system, which was the way that churches raised funds in those early years. Individuals and families would rent their pews on an annual basis. And you all down front, you got the closer seats, the more comfortable seats, the more expensive seats. Not so much you all in the back. With that, then, the Tabernacle movement eliminated this long-held pew rental system and introduced the expectation that members, that attendees, would actually support the ministry of the church in voluntary giving. So we went through this deliberate process of changing our name, of changing the way we did business in anticipation of the arrival of Reverend Pearson, who in the meantime accepted a call to a very prominent church in Philadelphia. The pastor never came, the name hit and stuck. The second significant event in the late 1880s was a change of location, which was prompted again by the insistence now of our newly called pastor. He said there are too many churches in that downtown section of Indianapolis. And so we sold the building on Ohio and Illinois streets and moved all the way north to 11th and Meridian. We built a new church there, some total $53,000. And during those decades, the city, as well as this newly named Tabernacle Church, continued to grow and expand. New opportunities for mission, for ministry, for outreach continued to avail themselves, particularly north of the city, and we were poised to address them. As an example, in 1918, our pastor, Dr. J. Ambrose Dunkel, who served us from 1918 until 1939, for whom the window right behind me is named, was visiting young families in this northern perimeter of the city, all the way up to Fall Creek. He quickly noticed that there were a lot of children, a lot of young families, but no Sunday school programs. And so he requested that land be purchased at the corner of 34th and Central, a newly developing section of the city. Curiously, we paid $24,000 for this property, the same amount we had paid to build our first church downtown. So a temporary, small-framed structure was built on this corner to offer Sunday school classes. And the very first day, 254 children showed up. And by our second year, there were over 1,000. And in years to come, there would be upwards of 2,000 children in our Sunday school program, such that the work we were doing here outstripped the ministry that was being carried on down on 11th and Meridian, and the decision was made to move once again. There's a wonderful story about Dr. Dunkel and the children of TAB, which I love. There were so many children in this Sunday school program that there was no way he could know them all, but they all knew him. And so they worked out a little code that when they saw him, and perhaps when they saw one another on the street or at school, they would hold up two fingers to show that they were part of the TAB church family. I think that would be a pretty good thing for us to do as well. In 1921, ground was broken for this magnificent structure made of Indiana limestone. Fashioned after 15th century Gothic architecture, the church was built in two phases. The sanctuary was dedicated in 1923, and the chapel and the gym in 1929. Think about what was happening in the U.S. economy in those years. And so, in order to make the monthly mortgage payment, the women of Circle A met every Monday morning to fry peanuts and donuts, which they then sold to the riders on the streetcar line going down Central Avenue. In 1924, a number of boys were found playing basketball in our coal bin, and we knew we had to do something to provide recreation space and opportunities for the children of TAB and the neighborhood. And so, with a down payment of $50, the TAB Recreation Program was birthed, which today serves about 1,500 urban kids a year in our various programs and has over 100,000 alumni. The TAB Rec Program became a model for church and sports ministries throughout the country. We will be celebrating TAB Rec's centennial anniversary in just a couple of years. Post-World War II, this Mapleton Fall Creek neighborhood began to change as residents and businesses and churches moved north in what is classically called white flight. During those same decades, we experienced these similar kinds of changes and challenges such that we had to make a decision in the mid-1960s, stay or go. The Metropolitan Community Program Committee was formed, and in June of 1966, after careful and prayerful study, made the following recommendation. Quote, the Metropolitan Community Program Committee recommends that Tabernacle remain in location, both for now and for the foreseeable future, and put all of its energies into the development of a Protestant church rendering significant service to the entire metropolitan community, calling us to be a force for Christ in the heart of the city. That counterintuitive, counterculture decision set the trajectory for our membership and our ministry, which continues to this day and beyond. I am so inspired by that decision that I keep a copy of that document in my day planner, and I have it with me all the time. During the ensuing decades, we have committed ourselves to living into and out of that vision by forming and funding and birthing numerous programs and organizations to address the needs of our neighborhood and the larger metropolitan area. The Mapleton Fall Creek Community Development Corporation, the Raphael Health Center, the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic, the Oaks Academy, the Mid-North Food Pantry, the Unleavened Bread Cafe, the Open Door Soup Kitchen, now the Open Door Cafe, Tab Tutoring, Fresh Stop, Freewheelin' Bikes, and the list goes on and on and on. Everywhere I go, and nearly everyone I meet, has a Tab story to tell of how this ministry has somehow impacted their ministry. In fact, I met with a young pastor this week who became, he told me, a Christian during college, and he didn't know what a Christian was at the time. And so he listened to good news from Tab every day and now has become a rector in an Episcopal church. Fast forward to the present day. Several years ago, I was asked by one of you, you know, that community ministry report was given 50 years ago. Do we still believe that? Good question. And so we formed the Vision Renewal Committee in 2016, which after a year of study and conversation, presented our Vision Renewal Report, which recommits us not only to staying in location, but directs us to ministries of greater faith, deeper relationships, a stronger community. Our past has laid the firm foundation for our present and our future. You see, friends, this is not their story. This is our story. There are certainly more stories to tell. They have been, should be, will be told. But hopefully these will help us to better understand who we are, how we got here, and where we are going. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the tent in which God resided among his people as they guided them through the wilderness towards the promised land. By definition, it was temporary and portable. And I look around this building and I wonder, what of us is temporary and portable with all of this stone and glass? And I can answer in two ways. First, all of it is. One day, this structure will not stand. But secondly, and more importantly, we, the people of Tab, are temporary and portable. Our creation story is replete with the stories of men and women who have gone before us and who are among us still, all of whom have heard and responded to God's call to faith and faithfulness. We are the living stones, Peter writes of in his letter, which is built upon the living stone of Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone, past, present, and future. And this is the TAB creation story, which we are blessed to be a part of and are encouraged to tell over and over and over again to the honor and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have blessed us so richly, that you've invited us to be part of your story, and more particularly, that you've invited us to be a part of the TAB story. We pray, O Lord, that we will know this story, that we will tell this story. It's the story of our salvation and our living into it. We pray that we will tell it so winsomely that our children will hear it, that our neighbors will hear it, that they will be drawn to you as we have been drawn to you. To you be all honor and glory. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.